Take these words of prayer, of peace, of inner light and presence, deeper from within you, where you are now, sitting all together, taking the sounds of the prayers of the muezzin, and go deeper. You've already been here for about an hour, feeling the preciousness of this place, of the Sphinx, that some say it goes way back before the pyramids, very ancient, close to 13,000 years. So much this Sphinx have seen and endured through all these times and histories and civilizations. And the many souls that came and had their time and heart and maybe even healings here taking place. So feel that in a more open and conscious way, connecting multidimensionally from you and multidimensionally with the Sphinx, with its light, with its love, with its compassion, and the deep soothedness and mother-like energy that is very deep here as well, embracing us all as we gather here for our third Kryon group tour. This moment can create a feeling of timelessness, of beingness, of oneness, of a greater awareness. Let your mind rest, the intellect put aside for this time, and open yourself more, just letting yourself be more of that light, of your divinity, of the frequencies and vibration and resonance that you are feeling it through your intuition and heart, expanding, wailing from within you, connecting us all as one unified field, and feeling the connection of the greater field that we all share as humanity. Breathe and allow yourself to feel even more, how grand, how ancient, how magnificent, how loving, and how you are loved by God, by the Creator, by the source of all that is, right here, right now.
We find ourselves next to an ancient monument called the Sphinx. And emanating from this Sphinx is a sense of eternal peace and tranquility. And yet, we can also hear the activity, the noises of life as it continues on around us. And so we can both be in a state of peace and simultaneously experience other types of energies around us. And if your connection to that peace is anchored deep, the eternal noise and connections around us do not interfere with that peace. And if we go one step further, the deeper we connect in to that eternal flow of peace that emanates from the divine, we can then emanate and radiate that peace out to those around us. It may not stop the noise, it may not stop their actions. But one thing for sure is that they will feel a wave of peace emanating out. And so collectively, there are many old souls gathered at this very moment in time, which includes the old souls that listen in the future. They are brought into this now moment, and their focused intent connected with ours combines to amplify even more the peace that we wish to transmit into the crystalline grid of this earth, which is connected all across the globe. And so in the heart of the Giza Plateau, we are beating out a wave, a pulse of peace, tranquility, so that this earth may be covered in a blanket of peace, the natural state of our being. And allow that blanket to wrap around the earth and come straight back to you, and acknowledge the eternalness of who you are.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. So again, we find ourselves next to the Grand Lady. How many of you feel that this, the largest statue in the world, is feminine? It is designed to be, even though perhaps they don't say so. The great defender, the thing that they put to scare those who would be part of wanting to deface the area or even coming into the area, a ferocious defender. I'm going to talk about that. It's mysterious, they say. What's mysterious about something that has been examined for dozens of years with the most sophisticated equipment? They know what is under it, around it, through it. That's all been discovered, pasted up many, many times, restored over and over. There's no secret to what's under it or in it. Then why is it so mysterious? Let me tell you that in just a moment. I will again say something that the historians will not agree with. Not yet. When I give you these kinds of things, it's because I know what's buried under the sand. And that sometimes will reveal for you what I'm going to tell you. I've sat here two other times and I've said, this Sphinx is far older than they give it credit for. And the historians will say, no, it happened at the same time the pyramids did, and it does this and it does that. And so therefore, it's not that old. Let me give you something that's perceptual. What if the pyramids were older than they thought? Does that make a difference? It does. Not everything here is as it seems. What is the attraction here? Why is it so mysterious? We'll talk about that in a moment. But let's go to something that I believe you will discover. It has the wrong head. This was meant for defense. In other words, a statue, a sphinx that protects. It protects. It's ferocious, dear ones. It has often the head of a lion or a ram, ferocious. There are even stories that it will eat you if you don't do something correctly. This is a protector. Now, when you see it and you look at your pictures, how ferocious does it look to you? This head is of a pharaoh. Now, the Egyptians were renowned for something, and that is kings and pharaohs wanted to put their image everywhere. This is the image of a pharaoh. Not unusual for a man to be on a sphinx, but it's unusual to be on this one. It's out of proportion. You might look at it more carefully, and although it has been explained in many ways and many tries, the head is a different color. The head doesn't have the same erosion the rest of the body does. They will tell you the head was sticking out of the sand and the rest of the Sphinx was covered up for years. Now that's just the opposite of having it eroded less. It should be eroded more. They will tell you that it was painted a color and that's what you're seeing, why it's a different color through the erosion process. If you know what the Egyptians did and you see what the Egyptians did, they didn't make a giant statue like this and only paint the head. That doesn't make sense. It's the wrong head. It's the head of a pharaoh who wanted to be known and have his head on the Sphinx. Not a ferocious one, but he then becomes the protector. And already you have heard what pharaohs wanted to do, especially those who wanted to be the king of the north and the south. They are guardians, they are protectors for their people. And so that is his face. And that's what they did. They are stone experts, dear ones. But even those who look upon it who are not experts scratch their head just a little and say, it doesn't seem to go with the body. Mysterious. What is mysterious? Ah. Let's go to our parable of woe, the third installment, where woe has just heard someone talk about the power of consciousness. Woe is starting to understand as he slogs through the sand in this parable, listen to the other two, that he found those where the sand retreated from them. And he met a man who started to explain about how you could control your reality. And Woe started to understand a little and not understand a little. But the man told him it's because consciousness is energy. And it's about not controlling chance, but being in the right place at the right time. That you can imbue consciousness into places and things. Back to the Sphinx. It's mysterious because everyone who can sense energy in a profound way has stood where you are today and said, there's something else here. Famous channels written in books have written about things that may be buried under it or around it because that's how it seemed to them. But that is a metaphor, dear ones, for the consciousness that may have been imbued into it by an ancient race that understood consciousness is energy. What if it was imbued into consciousness that would frighten and scare? Because that is its purpose. It's a sphinx. Consciousness is energy. That has only been discovered in the last 25 years as a validated thing. But that's you, dear ones. What do you think the ancients knew that you have rediscovered? There is so much. All around Egypt, you find traces and evidences of some very sophisticated healing techniques, sound techniques, chemistry. Where did the word chemistry come from? Egyptian. Now, the Greeks may argue, but it was Egyptian. And in this, it tells you perhaps they had chemistry. What if they had the chemistry to etch stone? Have you ever thought of that? Would that explain some preciseness that is today head-scratching by those who don't give any credit to an ancient race understanding what you have discovered? Dear ones, you are rediscovering an entire amount of things. Even electricity may have been discovered in its basic form, in its basic way, not to light cities, but to do other things, maybe even to create sounds. There is so much that lays here that may or may not be discovered. But do not discount the ancient Egyptians as being those who didn't have things or didn't discover things. It's possible, maybe, they knew more than you know about consciousness. In this spot, there are things to feel. There has been much go on here before it was ever uncovered in the sand. And it may have to do with what you feel here that has nothing really to do with the dimensions of the statue or even its wrong head. Woe made another visit to the man who would discuss changing his reality through his consciousness, through the way he thinks. Warned again by those sacred ones that he trusted, his spiritual leaders, the sand spiritualists, said, stay away from those people who seem to be able to walk unencumbered by the sand. He met the man again, and he said, let me get this straight. You said that we could change that which is chance and reality, and we can move things. And the man said, no, whoa, I didn't say that. I said, you have the consciousness through intuition to be in the right place at the right time. That's what the field does for you. But there's more, whoa. Whoa, consciousness, that how you feel, that is what you are. What your brain thinks and does has energy. But it's not just about thinking, woe. There's something else you should know. And woe was all ears. It's the how-to. How does this happen, woe? What can you do to be like us, woe? And woe was listening. And he didn't expect the answer. Well, here is the beginning of how you can accomplish these things. Love the Lord thy God with all of your heart every single moment of the day. When you're asleep, love God with every moment, even that which you don't think that you can. Make that which is God who made you in his image everything to you. Understand and be devoted to the fact that there is nothing that you appear to look at that was made by men. It was all God. God, who created you in his image, has now given you, the rest of you, a discovery of more of you than you thought. You have tools in that creation that you could use that you had never been taught about. You've always been taught that you were hobbled, and that if you wanted help or you wanted to do things that you see us do, you had to have permission. You had to go to a building. You had to worship. You had to do certain kinds of things to be in the grace of that which created you. This Creator loves you, knows you, knows who you are and what you're thinking right now, woe, and whether you believe this or not. Well, I want you to come back in the next episode. When you do, I'd like to tell you not just how the sand can retreat from you, not just how you can create a reality which seems odd to others because you always are so lucky, but there's something else, something even bigger of what consciousness can do. But it requires dedication, understanding that God is more than you were ever taught, and that God lives inside you and is part of you and is ready for you to discover the rest of yourself. And woe left that episode, that teaching, spinning with an idea he had never considered before. What if God were bigger than anything he had ever been told? Almost blasphemous to think that. But what if it was true? We leave you there for the next episode. I'm crying in love with humanity, sitting with you at that grand lady who is the protector of the valley. This is a valley, dear ones, if you take a look at where the Nile used to be and where the sand used to be. And so it is.